saving money on exterior wall lights. Now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Magnolia Lobby Studio, Nashville, Tennessee, Gaylord Opryland. There we are. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Roberts making it happen. Master control at the Grand Ole Opry House this morning. Look at Kelly Sutton smiling.
Hi.
On a Friday.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy about today.
Yes, because tonight you are Glam Squad. What's the program? You're in charge of eyelashes?
Yes.
You want to practice on me and Charlie for television?
Not really, no.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe later. You don't want this. If I'm coming at you with a pair of eyelashes with glue on them and I'm sticking them to your eye, you're not going to like that.
All right. What is the worst thing a woman has to do daily as far as hair and makeup? Is it eyelashes?
Well, it depends. Most people don't wear false eyelashes unless, you know, that's part. I do every day because
I'm on here.
Yeah,
but we have a lot of artists who come in here and they
Sure, yeah. No, I would say, yeah, that's probably the most labor-intensive, and other than hair, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but I learned yesterday, our friend Peyton Dale, who is Kelly Lang's daughter, she said the new thing is, don't worry about your hair, just say that you're a French girl, because French girls are, like, kind of messy hair and unbothered. And I was like, oh, it gives you an air of mystery. So
Charlie, have you tried the French curl technique?
It worked for me for decades. Okay.
I just
don't worry about it.
That's Charlie Maddox. So. We got Annie Nye and Aaron Cooper, little Easy back there this morning, studio directing. And
Little Easy sounds like it's a rap name.
Yes.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
But you know when you say her name, Aaron Cooper, EC, it comes out Little Easy. Right.
Little Easy over there.
And my wife met her at my 30th anniversary last Thursday at Opry Country Classics for the first time and goes, she is exactly, looks, sounds, everything about her is what I saw without having ever seen her. You know, you're always wrong
that's
when you
so
hear somebody's
funny.
Voice and connect a look without seeing them first or knowing them first.
That's very funny.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. Carrie Underwood from the stage of the Grand Ole Opry is coming up. Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams are in, playing Third and Lindsley tonight, playing Coffee Country and Cody in just a few minutes with All This Time, a brand new album. Has gotten lots of traction for them.
So there's a new movie that's in theaters today. It's The Fall Guy. And if you remember the TV show, it was Lee Majors, and it had this iconic theme song. In fact, it was so funny. I was listening to it when we were in California, and I was like, man, I can almost remember every word of this theme song. It was just one of those, it's somewhere embedded way back in the back. I don't remember why I remember it, but I remember it. So my dad must have been watching it all the time. The movie is coming out in theaters tonight, and we have somebody new singing the theme song, one of our country music friends. I'll tell you who coming up.
Well, you said that was like Mickey Newberry and his song, I Forgot to Remember to Forget. Mm-hmm. Didn't Elvis do that, Charlie?
Very early on. Yeah. That was one of the first singles.
I think Mickey wrote that.
This is Coffee Country and Cody.
Literally just walked in and sat down. Walk right in, sit right down. Remember that old song? Mama, let your hair hang down.
Let your hair hang down.
Well, do it, Teresa. Let your hair hang down. Teresa Williams, Larry Campbell, Third and Lindsley tonight with a brand new album, All This Time. And what a story. I think the summary is Love at First Note, Larry. I read that you were quoted as saying.
She was quoted.
Oh!
To me, it was first sight.
Yeah, classic.
I had to get my jaw off the floor before I could hear her sing.
So,
you know, then,
so how does a girl from Peckerwood Point, Tennessee meet a boy from New York City and...
Throw in a little Hank Williams and all kinds of stuff will happen.
That's
what it was. I was singing like a Hank Williams thing, and I thought, I'm so, can I say this on the air, screwed, because I thought New York City country music player was an oxymoron, and that's where I was.
And what took you there from West Tennessee?
I grew up doing what I'm doing now. I would never have had to go to school. But for some odd reason, I was like I was dropped from Mars. I wanted to study acting. I mean, my parents, we do songs in the show now that I learned at my father's knee, you know, my mother and father. But I just wanted to study acting. So I went to Knoxville and got a theater degree. And they said, well, you have to go to New York. So I went to New York. But I always had, you know, I had one foot in the music and one foot in the... It was straight up classical acting, you know. So I thought I would go to New York and do Shakespeare. And I ended up doing Hank Williams and Met Larry. You know, there's a lot more money for singers than there are for Shakespearean actors in New York City.
Was there just something about a girl who sang Hank Williams songs that you just...
Yeah, well, you know, at that time, I was... So I grew up in New York City. I was, you know, got into music. It was really, of course, the Beatles that, you know, of that generation. That Ed Sullivan Show was the big bang. And, but down the road, in the late 60s, early 70s, I was just enamored with the music that was coming out of the South. The blues, the bluegrass, the country music, the gospel music, all that stuff. It was just pulling me in. And so I got deep into that. I ended up living in Jackson, Mississippi for a couple of years, and I was in California. And
wait a minute, New York City to Jackson, Mississippi?
Yeah, man, yeah.
Now, let me just throw in.
Talk about your culture, Sean.
Let me throw in. If I hadn't known he had lived in Jackson, Mississippi for 2 years, people think I'm exaggerating and joking. I really would not have married him because he wouldn't have known what he was getting into. I grew up less than an hour from the Mississippi line. So, you know, that was a good exposure. Yeah. Otherwise, the cultural divide would have been... It is anyway, but it would have been too extreme for him to hit Peckerwood Point. It would be like my cousin Vinny, you know.
Yeah. I was so into this music. But in order, I knew inside that in order to present it with any sort of authenticity, I had to understand the culture where it came from more than I did growing up in New York City, you know. So that, I went back to New York in 1978, and that was the beginning of this era of urban cowboy in New York City where country music was fashion, you know.
For example, they had a club called Denim and Diamonds.
Yeah.
Right there in the middle of Midtown.
And it was ubiquitous in New York. And there was all kinds of work as a country musician for recording, performing, you know, clubs all over the place.
And the flashpoint was Urban Cowboy?
Yeah, that was it because that movie was so huge and it made such an impression. That was the next wave of country music popularity in New York at that
time. Did Denim and Diamonds have a mechanical bull?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. The Wall Street people were walking down the street in cowboy boots and hats.
Right. Did you last 8 seconds is the question. Were you on it?
Say it again.
Did you ever get on the bull?
No, I didn't get on the bull.
Like to see
but
that.
I ended up on the stage because John Conley was there, and they would always bring some. I mean, that's the only time I ever went there was because John Conley was there. I wasn't going to miss that in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So they were doing a thing where they would call somebody up from the audience and sing Rose Colored Glasses with him, which, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm out there singing every word of every song with them, just like probably making a spectacle of myself back in the house. But they spotted me and pulled me up. It was like, oh, yeah.
And cool. Did you bring down the house and did he talk to
I think
to
he
you?
Was taken aback that I actually knew how to sing.
That's awesome.
We've had an occasion at the Grand Ole Opry where Terry Clark would do her John Conley imitation with Rose Colored Glasses.
Oh.
And then Craig Morgan separately would do his John Conley imitation with rose colored glasses. And then one night they were all three there together.
Oh,
and
perfect.
John knew that they did him and brought them out.
Excellent.
And they did a trio version of John Conley doing rose colored glasses. And I once had John Conley, Earl Thomas Conley, and Con Hunley on the show from the Ryman Auditorium because they were all having hits at the same time.
Wow.
And we're always confused with each other out on the road. So
yes.
Con finally said, you know what? I'm just going to learn their catalog. And when somebody shouts out,
I've heard people say that.
I'll just go into rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
Nobody had a clue.
Yes.
Crazy.
Amazing. But that's such a wonderful connection, the New York connection to Urban Cowboy and
how extraordinary that was. It was a great time, but the problem was because it was so fashionable, there were so many people there who played guitar that decided they're country singers, you know.
Oh, it's that whole thing too where, and, that's easy.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Right. And,
but they don't know that you're inside.
And I was you know, I would get these calls to come and record with or back up these people. And it, most of the time it was just wasn't the real thing. You know, I get a call from a mutual friend of ours that this woman is doing a job, this thing at the Bottom Line. And would you come and play? And I'm thinking, here we go again. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. So I show up at the rehearsal. And as I said before, I saw her and I just, I mean, I She was clock stopping gorgeous,
and I heard him before.
Yeah,
I saw
and then I heard her sing, and this was the real thing. It was the real thing.
And that's what I was thinking when he was playing that pedal steel. It's like, whoever you are, you're saving my life. Thank you, I love you, whoever you are. And it was he was really inside the Hank, because that thing of thinking, oh, country's easy, I can go do that and I'll have a big career, because, you know, that's easy stuff. But you have to, it's deceptively simple, because
read,
you have
though,
to be inside to actually.
Yeah, I read where he
true appreciation.
He courted you with a Leuven Brothers mixtape.
It's so true, and he's such, you know, he's pretty smart, because that worked.
Yeah, I wanted her to show her that this guy from New York knew who the Leuven Brothers were.
And one of the first songs we recorded and sang was You're Running Wild.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, you know, nothing says romance like Satan is real. I mean, that's, you know, right. So.
Or his album, Charlie in his later life recorded murder songs and disaster ballads.
I really hope that wasn't on the mixtape.
Well, Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams are here. They got new music, and your good fortune is they are in town tonight, and then you're off for a couple of nights at Eddie's Attic, and then back to West Tennessee, Lexington, over near where you grew up, at Peckerwood Point. Kelly, I saw your eyes pop open a minute ago. Tipton County.
I am not familiar.
A travel weekend to Tipton County will find you or near Peckerwood Point.
Okay.
Yeah. And if the New Madrid Fault earthquake in the Mississippi River had gone a little differently, you'd have been from Arkansas.
My grandfather always said we're living on a big fault line, and I thought he's a big jokester, but turns out he's right. Hmm. Yeah, out there.
So Desert Island Dreams, I'm hearing it's getting a lot of traction for you guys, and
that's
we're
going to
feature it first from the new album. Backstory, original song?
Yeah, it is. It's, it sort of came out of nowhere for me. Well, you know, she figured out that most of the songs on this record that I had written were there was a common theme in there, and she found a way, and probably true, a connection to my COVID experience, you know, because it was, I mean, to me, they were just songs as they were coming out. I wasn't setting out to make any connection between these songs, but Desert Island Dreams, you know, while I was sick, and it was really bad, and through that whole era for everybody, the human connection thing was so, we had lost that.
Well, you know, and for us, we lost Joe Diffie and John Prine at the beginning.
That's right.
In the first month or so.
And John and Fiona were the first people to contact me when I got sick and tell me they were thinking about me and hoping, wishing the best. 2 weeks later, he was gone, you know, and that was heartbreaking.
Oh, wow.
And we'd done a couple of shows with John not that long before that, probably.
Yeah. And I heard about it while I'm in this fevered condition of COVID, and it just really knocked me down. But the Desert Island Dreams came out of this urge to just, we got a lot of downtime during COVID, you know, and I was starting to see that you put your phone down, you put the computer away, you just start concentrating on the things where you can turn off the rest of the world and the things that be with the people you love and spend time together and get that human connection back.
So I get a good joke on the stage right now by going, Larry's written himself into a hole, because I'm going, oh yeah, Larry, put down this smartphone, let's go to a desert island, like any day now.
It's the first thing you hear on the brand new album from Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams, All This Time. Which is more fun, the music or the conversation with these two? So happy to have Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams in studio, 3rd and Lindsley tonight. And by the way, Kelly, you know, I what a geography geek I am.
Uh-huh.
I have found on Amazon 2023 Christmas ornaments with Peckerwood Point, Tennessee, holiday, Christmas, and family, friends, funny gift, Christmas. and there's a little Christmas ornament with a pickup truck, a Christmas tree. Merry Christmas from Peckerwood Point, Tennessee.
Teresa, those are homemade by Teresa. That's what they do in the spare time. They had a lot of time. Right. You know, Larry got sick. Teresa made these ornaments.
She painted each one by hand.
Okay, can I lead you in a direction for a second that I know almost everyone leads you in this direction?
Oh, is this where you're going to pick his brain?
But I have I have to ask. So the first two times I ever saw Bob Dylan were the Time Out of Mind tour and then the Love and Theft tour. Yeah. And you were such an integral part of that band. I've never seen anyone so brilliant and yet still, to me, such an enigma. What was 7 years like with Bob Dylan?
It was brilliant in a very enigmatic way.
Okay. And what a band, right? Charlie Sexton would have been with you, Tony Gagne. Yeah, I mean, that was a great band.
Oh,
right?
It was when that band was clicking on all cylinders, I was in heaven, you know. It was great. And
is he a taskmaster?
Well, I don't know that that's the proper terminology. He's always searching. Mm-hmm. He's always searching, and you're trying to find what he's looking for, you know, and his degree of satisfaction with that tends to vary, I mean, you're with Bob Dylan, you know. When I first got called to do this gig, I had just come off the road a year tour with Katie Lang, and I just wanted to be home in New York, be a New York City studio musician. That was my goal at that time, and so I turned it down initially, and then I thought, wait a minute, this is Bob Dylan. What am I doing, you know? I called his manager back. And I said, wait a minute, no. I want to do this, and we rehearsed and went on tour, but every
what would you call that rehearsal?
No, because the rehearsal was basically 3 days of playing old country tunes and old rock and roll tunes, and then we get out on the road and start playing Bob Dylan tunes, most of which I'd never played before, many that I'd never heard before, you know, and that was kind of the theme on the road. You just get up there and do it, and it's different every night.
I was going to say, are the sets the same, or is it an audible? Is he just turning around and calling it?
There would be a set list, but that set list would vary from night to night,
and was never what you did at soundcheck.
Right. We would rehearse the tunes at soundcheck, and then they turned it into something else.
And apparently he despises the sing-along, so he changes these melodies to these classic pieces.
Yeah.
I did not. He was halfway through Blowing in the Wind before I realized at a Ryman show that, we're singing Blowing in the Wind, which everybody knows. Right. The world knows that song from the folk era, right?
He's always moving in one direction or another. And you know, I don't know what that motivation is, but it seems to work for him, you know. The guy is one of a kind. There's no doubt about it. You can't deny his artistry. It comes from a place where no one else comes from, it's a roller coaster ride. It's going to have its fabulous moments. It's going to have its dark moments too.
Was 7 years enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and I realized, you know, I was getting, if you're in Bob Dylan's band, your job is to help him present his songs the way he wants them presented. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it should be. I had other ambitions, you know. I wanted to work with Teresa. I wanted to produce records. I was getting all these offers. I couldn't.
You
take
got a call from Paul McCartney that you couldn't do because Bob called the band back.
Right. Yeah. And
so things like that.
Yeah. And I wasn't getting any younger, you know. And I knew if I was going to start this in this direction, I had to do it. And that was a big ship to jump off of, you know. But it worked out well because 2 weeks after that, I get a call from Levon Helm, and he said, I heard you left Bob. Come on up here and let's make some music.
That's where I was going next. It's like you're reading my mind.
Yes, sir.
So some insight into Levon Helm and the band, and you make your home in Woodstock?
We have a house there. Yes,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Between there and New York City.
When we're not on the road, I'm in Peckerwood Point.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yes.
Family.
Making ornaments.
I promise you, you type it in on Amazon, you can get a 4-pack.
Oh, nice. Y'all, I did not make them. Thanks to whoever did.
I got to see this. Yeah.
So working with Levon.
Wow. So early on, he was just coming out of throat cancer. The doctor said he'd never talk again, let alone sing. His voice was coming back. He was about to lose his house. He was about to go broke. He started having these rent parties up there in Woodstock and raising money, turning this thing regular Saturday night, the midnight ramble up there, which
in the barn, right?
In the barn, yeah. Just caught fire, and not the barn, but the ramble.
But they had caught fire twice before,
yeah, that's
too.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
And early on, after I'd been up there a few times, Teresa got involved through Amy, through Levon's daughter, and all of a sudden there's this family thing going on up in this barn for us, where we're sitting around with Levon, just playing songs, having a great time doing it. And Justin Gwip, the engineer up there, ran the tape, and it turned into a record called "The Dirt Farmer," which we did just for the joy of doing it. There's no label, there was no agenda, there was no budget.
That must have been wonderful.
Yeah, and then we got a deal, and the record came out and ended up winning a Grammy, and it was just off to the races from there.
So did Ramble at the Ryman, and so did Electric Dirt.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, Levon is his grandparents, I think. It might have been great-grandparents. I think grandparents. There's one set that were from about 40 minutes from Peckerwood Point, just south of it. And then they all moved to Arkansas. Just saying. Oh, just want to point that out. There's a reason we got along. He sounded like he was straight out of the cotton patch of the day he...
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He had it thick.
Mr. Authenticity, that one.
Absolutely. Well, the first couple of Americana.
I like that.
They have been dubbed Larry Campbell, Teresa Williams, and for good reason. Did we decide what we're closing with, Charlie?
We are closing with Ride With Me.
All right. Thanks for riding with us for the last few minutes, guys. Great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Privilege to be here, Cody. Really, all y'all. It's just thanks so much for having us.
You know, this is my stomping grounds. I was at Opryland between school terms one year.
Were you really?
Yes, I was. Oh. I knew how to get in here.
What were you doing?
I was I was singing and dancing my way into the hearts of Middle America.
Amen.
Country
I was
music,
doing
the USA?
Showboat, yeah. Uh-huh. And then the next year they offered me the swing for the country show.
Yeah,
because you know, let's get real. Yeah. And I had to finish graduate school, so I didn't get to do it. But it was one of the most professional places I ever worked in my life.
That's
it was
amazing.
No, it was good. And Porter Wagoner took over our stage one time, and that was like, for me, that was like, oh my god. His whole show came and took over the stage.
Royalty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up watching that show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton famously told Marty Stewart when he asked him if he knew, because he wanted him to work on that last album, Wagon Master. He said, you know who Porter Wagoner is? He said, do I know? We used to cry when he signed off. Oh, yeah. I was just conjuring up memories from Teresa Williams with Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams in the studio. Her talking about a summer spent working at Opryland. Because earlier this morning I came across this. 1986, May 3rd. The Silver Dollar City, Tennessee Amusement Park in Pigeon Forge is reopened as
Dollywood.
Yeah.
How about
that? Oh, Ellen Liston was just in with us this week.
Mm-hmm.
Flower and Food Festival.
Heading there Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, you are.
Looking forward to that.
It says that Dolly takes ownership and the park grows considerably.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, my gosh. It's huge. I love Dollywood.
It is.
Absolutely.
Well, will you tell me about Opryland and...
There's a guy. So for people that miss Opryland, the theme park, there is a guy that is building a virtual reality Opryland, from the opening gates to the Grizzly River Rampage to the Cannonball, all of it. He has gone in and is I think he was doing a GoFundMe where people were sending him money, mm-hmm. and he is building it. I don't know if it's finished yet or not, but if you have a VR headset, he was working on getting it. So, and it was like a point of view where you're riding the rides.
Really?
Like whole thing, yeah.
Well, you know,
isn't that cool?
You know that big rock as you take the access road around Opry Mills?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There's one
that you're driving along. There's this big, huge rock. That's the Grizzly River Rampage. Yeah. That's where it was.
That's right the only there. Remnant of the whole park,
That's
right?
That's the whole thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, since we're going back in a time machine, let's talk about a hit TV show that was a part of my childhood that I'd completely forgotten about.
Sing about it, Kaylee.
So
sing it out. Sing it out, girl.
I just...
She was belting it in the studio earlier.
I don't... this, you know, those songs that you're like, how do I know the lyrics to this song?
I don't know, but you do.
How? And I was that way with the Bee Gees because my mom would play the Bee Gees incessantly. Like, I was probably 4 years old, 3 years old, and she was playing, you know, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack and Grease and everything. And so those things are just embedded somewhere way, way in the way back. And that's, I think, what happened with this, because this show was on the air from 1981 to 1986. It was The Fall Guy, and it was all about a stuntman. Lee Majors was the lead, and he also sang this iconic theme song. Well, the movie comes out today in theaters. It stars Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, which, if you remember, last summer they were both in the biggest blockbusters. Mm-hmm. He was in Barbie, she was in Oppenheimer. So now they're together in this movie, The Fall Guy. And I did promos for this at Stagecoach over and over. Universal Pictures, The Fall Guy, it's coming out May the 3rd. It features a world record Guinness setting 8.5 barrel rolls in a car and blah, blah, blah. So I had to learn all this stuff about it. What I didn't know was Blake Shelton is singing the theme song. Does everyone else remember this song?
Do you remember his name?
The Unknown Stuntman?
No, the actual Fall Guy.
No.
Colt Seavers.
Oh, what a great name.
I looked it up.
What a great name.
First episode on ABC, November 4th. 1981.
Mm-hmm.
So how old were you in 81?
Let me think about this. Seven?
Oh, that's the sponge age.
Right.
Yeah. That's why you remember it.
Why I have never heard this song, and it would not, that was my University of Miami years. We didn't even have a television set in our dorm. So I would never have watched this show.
Yeah.
So, coincidentally, I never heard the song. This is brand new to me.
My University of Miami years. Is that the drug years for the VH1 Behind the Music series?
That's the part that it goes into black and white. Whenever you're watching that documentary you see it fade into black and white, you're like, whoa.
And then you go,
grainy handheld black and white, right?
And then the big voiceover guy says, Charlie Maddox. The drug years.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
When we come back.
So if you love this song and if you want to go see this blockbuster, it's out in theaters today. The Fall Guy. So go see it from Universal Pictures. Okay, Morgan Wallen is going to be at Nissan Stadium. He will not be in court, just in case you are wondering. If you remember, he allegedly threw a chair off of the roof of Chiefs, the new bar downtown. That was on April the 7th, and he was scheduled to appear in court today, but he has since waived his right to appear. They said there might be something happening in terms of a plea deal. We don't know. Still to be determined. If he was sentenced for this, because they're felony charges, minimum would be a year, maximum would be 6 years.
So, Kelly, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What kind of bird don't fly?
A jailbird, honey. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Saying, yeah. Your Honor, please let the record show that the reporter said allegedly.
Allegedly. One thing that did happen that wasn't allegedly was Tanya Tucker riding her horse downtown. That one happened, and that was under the guise of Metro Police. They were standing right there. She was kicking off the pop-up that she has now at Nudie's. It's called Tanya Tucker's Tequila Cantina. It's one of the upper floors at Nudie's Bar, and there she is aboard her black stallion as she rides down 2nd Avenue. Actually, that's Broadway that she's on right there. This is not the first time she's done it. She's actually done it, I think, at least 3 times, if not 4. So she's used to causing a scene.
That is a Frisian. They were war horses in medieval times.
Mm-hmm. Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Well, see, a few hours ago, he was in Nashville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And he got in his car and he drove about 5 hours. And he arrived in Nashville, not to be confused with Asheville.
Right.
And he played the Bluebird last night. I couldn't go because I was at the Opry Country Classic show last night. But I knew he was coming in this morning. I thought, I'll get my concert one way or the other. In studio on Coffee Country and Cody with Chris Smither this morning. Welcome.
Welcome to me. Thank you very much, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. And interestingly, you mentioned you just missed Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams.
I know.
How well do you know them?
Well, you know, it's one of these things where you nod to each other about every year and a half. Yeah. you know who you are, and you hardly ever get time to sit down, but I actually probably will sit down with them tomorrow because I'm doing the early show and they're doing the late show at Eddie's Attic in Decatur, just outside of Atlanta, tomorrow night. I was hoping to see him here this morning, but just missed him.
Well, I'm sorry you did, but it's great to have you sit down with us this morning.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
And we're going
to
feature work from All About the Bones, your 20th album in your soon-to-be, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, I read this, in November, you will be 80?
Yes. Hard. I don't know where that came from, but.
But that's an extraordinary accomplishment. Here you are at that age, you're still active, you're still touring, people still love you, and you finished your 20th album.
Yeah. Well, believe me, it feels very good. It does. I never would have believed I'd still be able to do this long.
Yeah.
But it still makes me happy.
Where do you make home?
Well, now I live in Western Massachusetts, in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Well, that's up in Charlie's country.
Home of UMass and Smith College. I grew up in Providence, away at all. So, But, you know, New Orleans is one of my favorite places. My wife and I have been there 30-something times, but we've only been as a tourist. What was it like to spend your early formative years in that city?
I always tell people it's a wonderful town to be from.
Because
you sort of get bragging rights, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like anything else. You know, the grass is always greener. You know, you want to get out and see what else is out there. But and then when I got out, people asked me questions the way you asked me just now. You know, like, what was it like growing up in New Orleans? And I have to confess that it's only in retrospect that I realize how cool it was.
Right.
You know, it was very, very cool.
Well, you started your life where Charlie went to college at Miami. You were born in Miami, but your family, they traveled.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was.
Were they restless souls?
No, it was during the war. Everybody was on the move. We just happened to be in Miami when I'm a twin, and I have a twin sister, and we were born in Miami, and 6 months later, we were in Ecuador.
Yeah. And then I saw you lived in the Rio Grande Valley at one point.
That's right.
And then what took you to Paris?
Well, the first time I went to Paris, my father was, during the war, he was in intelligence work, and then he went, in real life, he was an academic, and after the war, he went back into academia and wound up teaching Romance languages at Tulane in New Orleans, which is why I grew up in New Orleans. He was a professor in charge of a junior year abroad program for Tulane, and so we moved to Paris for a year and a half when I was 12, and then I went back to Paris for another year when I was 20.
And did I read that he bought you a guitar from Spain, your first guitar?
Right. Yeah, we were living in Europe, living in Paris, and he was traveling all over Europe, and around my 12th birthday, he brought me. I'd been playing a ukulele for a couple of years, and he was amazed that I stuck with something for more than a week and a half, and so he brought me this guitar from Spain and said, "You think you can handle the extra strings?" And I said, "I'll work it out."
That's awesome. So did you already speak French growing up in New Orleans? You had some idea?
I did not speak a word of French.
Oh, wow. You know,
I got dropped at the age of 12. I got dropped into a French public school, and everybody told my father, "Bill, you're crazy. Those children are never going to survive." And she said, "You watch. In 2 months, they'll speak better French than I do." And he was right.
That's great.
Do you still speak it?
I do, yeah.
Wonderful.
That's amazing.
So Mississippi John Hurt. Share with people who he is and what he means to you.
John Hurt is an anomaly in a way. He's right from the heart of the Delta, and he doesn't sound anything like Delta blues. I mean, he's very recognizably part of that African-American sort of blues-influenced music, but he's just he was a wonderful guitar player and a picker, a very deceptively simple finger-picking style that just blew me away.
And when we think of that in country music and bluegrass, we think of Merle Travis, of Chet Atkins.
Very good. Interestingly enough, John Hurt's favorite guitar player was Doc Watson.
Oh, yeah. So, how about that?
That's amazing.
But, you know, he just had elements of both worlds, that deep blues and the sort of Piedmont country style of playing. And that, my two big influences were him and Lightnin' Hopkins, which, of course, is the Texas tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah. Chris Smither, he's on Coffee Country and Cody. Coffee Country and Cody should be anyway. Coffee Country and Cody with Kelly Sutton's Entertainment and Reba McEntire from the stage of the Grand Ole Opry doing Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow.
I love that.
Yeah. Bill Gaither catalog.
Is
this,
it?
For this performance. Yep.
I didn't realize that. Well, let's talk about Reba, because she's got a lot happening. Not only is she hosting the 59th annual ACM Awards, airing live on Amazon Prime Video on May 16th.
From Dallas, Texas, home of the Jerry Jones Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling Jerry Jones, Miss Sutton. How can I help you and provide you with...
It tickles me.
Excellent service here at the Dallas
Cowboys. If I do not get a picture with him this year... then I have failed in my mission, because he walked right by me last year, and I just did one of these, like, that was Jerry Jones.
If you say Jerry, he'll stop.
You're right.
Jerry.
Yes.
Well, it was in the middle.
Jerry Jones.
It was in the middle of the show. So ACM Awards are happening on the stage, and they're bringing us in to sit, and the first one's already, like, first performer's already in the middle of it, and he is... standing almost on the stage watching it like this, and they're sneaking us behind, and I did one of these, like, that was Jerry Jones. That was Jerry Jones. And then they put him in a seat over at the front. This
I had
year,
no idea I would be named the Entertainer of the Year at
That's
this
right.
year's awards.
I happily accept.
Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, Reba is going to be hosting ACMs, but she also has new music coming, and we're talking more than just a single. This is pretty exciting. She has a new album and single that will be coming out very soon. So if you're keeping track at home, she is currently still on The Voice.
Nice one.
Yep, she's going to be doing the ACM Awards, hosting it for the 17th time.
That's two.
This will be her 11th time doing it solo, by the way.
Okay.
So it's impressive. She has an album coming out.
That's three.
She has, well, the single is part of the album, but we'll count it separately. Okay. She just shot a new pilot for a TV show along with her friend Melissa Peterman.
That's four.
Yes, and it's called Happy's Place, and I have some of the inside scoop on that, but you have to stay tuned next week for our podcast, because
like
I can't give it away.
The Jamaicans thing, you remember, from In Living Color?
How many job you got?
How many job you got, man?
No, that's right.
Reba got at least four.
At least four, so she's keeping it going. Yeah. So here's the cool thing. She was on Jennifer Hudson's show this week, and she said, hey, I heard you've got some new stuff coming. Can we play it? And they did, and we recorded it. So take a listen. This is the new song from Reba. You better sing. I Can't is the name of the song. We don't know exactly when the album is going to be coming out. By the way, Jennifer and Reba closed out the show doing a duet of I'm a Survivor, which was the theme song for so many years.
I was hoping it'd be It's Raining Men.
Well, all right.
Slip them a 20 and see what happens. Morgan Wallen, still in concert here, Nissan Stadium, night number 2. He will not be appearing in court. He waived his right to appear in court today. So what does that mean? Well, we're not sure yet, but a plea deal is possible. He's facing felony charges after a chair went flying off of Chief's 6-story bar downtown, allegedly thrown by Morgan Wallen. If he gets the minimum sentence, it would be a year. If he gets the maximum, it's 6 years. So I don't think he's probably going to serve that time. We will find out. In the meantime, go see him tonight at Nissan Stadium. Tickets are still available.
How about a series of benefits for the Police Benevolent Association?
I could see that happening.
Well, back in the day, Gene Ward, if he's up listening this morning, Mr. Genie Seeley, he represented Lefty Frizzell and Webb Pierce. I think Webb got pulled over twice in the same afternoon.
Oh.
And was down at the courthouse.
Well, that's a fine day's work.
Sure is.
He said... because of the cameras and the newspapers and all that, he was tried in the men's room and wound up, to your point, Charlie, doing a series of concerts for the following few years for the Police Benevolent
Society. Makes sense. That makes sense.
So you're saying I'm not guilty. That's what you're saying on Coffee Country and Cody. How are we going to say goodbye and get into the weekend unless we say goodbye, huh?
Goodbye.
All right. Kelly Sutton, Charlie Manos, Annie Nye, Aaron Cooper. I'm Bill Cody. 30th anniversary for me last week was celebrated. 1994. It was the 29th ACM Awards. my 30th year. This is 30 years ago. It was my first few days in town. Your winners, Pioneer Award, Charlie Pride. Top female vocalist 30 years ago was Wynonna. Top male vocalist was Vince Gill. Entertainer of the year,
Charlie Daniels.
Garth Brooks.
Oh.
Who, when he grows up, would love to be Charlie Daniels.
Yeah,
I just
he
know
would.
That.
Yeah, he would.
And we will see you on Monday's Coffee, Country, and Cody. Charlie, tell them where you'll be in a few hours.
Inducting T. Graham Brown into the Grand Ole Opry. Yay! Well, Vince Gill's going to do that, but I'll be there. Hi.
See you Monday.
Save big money and transform your home with new appliances now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices and the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Check out top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home and save big money on new appliances at Menards. Shop our entire selection of appliance options online today at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.